Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Now, we talk about something I kind of thought, you know, I ought to save this till Sunday when everybody's here, because this is such a powerful word, but I just feel like, you know, go ahead with it. I want to talk to you about out of the heart. And what I'm going to be talking about when I'm talking about out of the heart is that if you get this principle, it really will change your life. You know, how many want life-changing principles? You know, people go and they pay seminars, they pay all kinds of money for life-changing principles when you can pick up your Bible and get them every day. Amen. If you just read it, believe it, apply it, do it, right? And so, you know, but this is a life-changing principle. When you get this, that really a lot of the things that we have in life, it came out of our own heart. You know, so that's why you gotta watch what you put in your heart, because you're going to have to deal with it, right? Amen. And I believe a lot of the things that people try to fix natural with, you know, natural remedies and things like that. If, I'm talking about even in their physical body. A lot of things, if they just change what's in their heart, they could change a lot of things going on in their physical body. You know, I don't know if you ever do this, but I just did it even today. I'll read Deuteronomy 28 about the curse and read all those curses, because I'm redeemed from that. And it doesn't say, well, if you eat butter beans, then you're redeemed from inflammation. It just says, I am. It doesn't say I have to eat pinto beans. I'm never going to eat them. But I'm redeemed from inflammation without pinto beans. You know, and I'm not knocking any of that stuff. I'm not saying there's not some natural help there. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the blunt of it, the thrust of the whole thing is we're redeemed from, that's part of the curse, and we're redeemed from it. And, you know, what you put in your heart, that's what ends up manifesting in your life. You know, a lot of the stuff that we have today that we don't like, it really came out of our heart. Now, let's read the scripture. You know, we're going to look at a few tonight, maybe, if we have time. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. And I just want to read this before we take off here anymore. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says to keep your heart with all diligence. Now, my cross-reference says, above all keeping. Now, in other words, this is the most important thing that you can do is keep your heart. You know what I'm saying? We keep different things, right? We keep our house. We keep our vehicles. We do maintenance on our vehicles. You know, we clean our house. You keep your lawn, I guess. You know, different things you keep. And you do that, you do maintenance, but the Bible says above all keeping, all your keeping, keep your heart, for, notice this, the last part of that verse, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, what does that mean, the issues of life? Well, one translation says it this way, keep vigilant watch over your heart, that's where life starts. Isn't that something? Now, this the word issues, that's what the King James says, out of it are the issues of life. That word issues literally means your borders or your boundaries that you have in life. In other words, what you have in your life, for the most part, came out of your heart. If you're an unhappy person, that's because you're putting the wrong things in your heart. Because there's, you know, because the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Happy is the man that trusts in Him. If you put the right things in your heart, you'll have a joy-filled life. Amen. But you got to put the right stuff in there. You got to see, the proverb said it like this, and I want you to listen to the way it says it. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not his head. How many know you get all kinds of thoughts in your head? Good, bad, and ugly, right? Anybody ever have thoughts in your head? I don't want that thought in my head. I told you the other day, you know, sometimes you get songs in your head and you think, I don't want that in there, but I don't even know how it got in there, except it's, you know what I'm saying, your mind is quite a computer and it remembers things that it heard years and years and years ago. You know, and I have that sometimes where a song just pops in my head. So usually it's in the morning, and I'm like, where'd that come from? How'd that get here? I haven't thought or heard that song in years, but it's still up there. So it's not just those fleeting thoughts that come to your mind. It's what you, it's what defines you. Those thoughts that are in your heart that make you you, make you you. Does that get, y'all get that? All right. So that sets your boundaries. That's what, that's the issues that you have in life, the things you have in life. You, it's because of your thoughts, because what you allow in your heart. See, out of your heart flows either good things or bad things. And so you have to change what you're thinking on. You have to change what you're allowing in your heart. Amen? And so I love that this one translation where it says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Listen now, here's some things I want you to think about. Whatever you put in your heart, that's what's going to manifest in your life. Your heart's like soil. I don't know if you know that or not, but Jesus said that, didn't he? He's talking about the sower sows the word. Where's it sown at? In our heart. Our heart's the ground, right? And so your heart's like soil. How many know soil, it doesn't ask what the seed is. It just goes to work to produce it. I've grown different things over the years. You can plant tomato seeds. You can plant corn. You can plant different things. You can plant marijuana. Oh, yeah. But guess what? That's the soil doesn't, the soil doesn't ask, is this legal? It doesn't ask if it's illegal. It just, something's put in there, I'm going to grow it. That's why you put a fence post in the ground, eventually it rots because the soil's trying to grow it. It's trying to break it down and grow it. See? So it's trying to grow another fence post. That's the way your heart is. Whatever you put in it, it grows it. And so if you put the wrong things in there, and people think, well, you're just being legalistic. No, I'm talking about being free here. I'm talking about being happy. I'm talking about being blessed. You put the wrong things in, it starts to grow. Amen? And so that's what we're going to talk about. You know, if you want a good crop, put good things in your heart. Amen. Well, listen, that's where your salvation began in your life. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If thou shalt believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. So your salvation, you've been born again. That started in your heart, didn't it? So if you don't get it in your heart, how many know you didn't really get saved? A lot of church people aren't saved because it's never got in their heart yet. It's just in their head, see. You know, they think, well, I did the right thing. I go to church. I shook the preacher's hand. I got baptized. But you got to get it in your heart. You got to get saved. And when it gets in your heart, it starts to manifest in your life, doesn't it? It did mine. I know that when I gave my life to Jesus, it started manifesting in my. I mean, I realized, you know, I can't. I'm a different person now. I'm changed because something got inside my heart. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? I mean, hey, the drugs left, the alcohol left, all that left. I mean, I still had things God was working on because I'm still flesh. How about you? God's still working on you? Of course, he's going to be working on you because you're still flesh and there's still things, you know. Amen. There's still part of you that, you know, you're born again, you're a new creature, but your flesh still wants to do wrong things sometimes. You got to bring it in. Like Paul said, he said, I keep it under. I bring it into subjection, right? I mean, if Paul had to, I figure I'm probably still working on mine. How about you think that? I mean, so, he, you know, and that's why, see, that's why the Bible says, I may teach on this sometime. The Bible says God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempts he any man. It didn't say he doesn't get tempted either. It says he can't be tempted with evil. Why? Because there's no evil in him to respond to that. Right? See, when we're tempted, the Bible says we're tempted when every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That means there's something inside of you that wants the temptation, right?
I've heard people say, well, Jesus wasn't really tempted. Well, listen, you know, here's the thing about that. He wasn't tempted to do illegitimate things or anything like that, but he was tempted to do things that, you know, the devil, it's like jump off and tempt the Lord, like jump off the pinnacle of the temple and things like that. But here's the thing. If you didn't want it, you couldn't be tempted. See, if I walk back in children's church after service tonight and there's this Caesar salad setting in there, it's going to be untouched by me. I'll leave it alone. I mean, if there's chicken on top of it, I might pick the chicken off, but, you know. But, you know, if there's something else in there, if there's pizza in there, well, you know, I might be tempted to take a piece of it. Amen. How many of you follow what I'm saying? See, God doesn't have any of that in him, so he can't be tempted. He doesn't have anything. So thank God that you and I can overcome. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So your heart is like soil. Whatever you plant in it, it's going to try to produce it. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Go there. Matthew 15. You know, this may seem really simple tonight, but if you get this, it's a life-changing thing for you. See, I heard someone say this when I first got saved. I heard someone say this. It was a minister. It was a lady minister. Her and her husband are both preachers. And she said this. I took note of it. You see, I paid attention. When I was young, I got saved at 21. I paid attention to my elders. I listened to them. I just seemed like, for some reason, I had enough sense. Listen to these people. They've been down the road a piece or two. And so I listened to him, and she made this statement. I held on to it. I did not forget this. I held on to this. She said her and her husband found out that the more word they got in them, the freer they would be. Yeah. I thought, if that's the truth, and I believe it is the truth, I'm going to get as much in me as I can. Yeah. And I'm still on that quest today. And you know what I found out? Here's what I found out. That was true. Yeah. The more word I got in me, the freer I was. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not just talking about free financially. I'm not just talking about free from sickness. I'm talking about free in my mind. Amen. I mean, who wants all the money in the world if you got torment in your mind? I want to be free in my mind. The Word will make you free in your mind. The Word will make you free in your marriage. Amen. And so you have to, the Word will make you free in all areas of your life. The more you put in it. Right? I mean, I'm just telling you, that when I heard that, I thought, if that's the truth, and I believed it was, I'm going to get as much in me as I possibly can. Now, have I been perfect at that? Well, no, but I can say I've certainly pursued it. Amen. I'm on a quest to learn what the Word has to say. Amen. That's what makes me free, right? You know, finding out what CNN says is not going to make me free. This is going to make me mad. Because of all the misinformation, lies. But that makes me free. It's like Wigglesworth said, he said, when I read the newspaper, I come out dirtier than I was. But when I read my Bible, I come out cleaner than I was. Now, that doesn't mean you can't read the newspaper, but I got his point. Don't ingest that, ingest the Word. Matter of fact, Dr. Summerall told this story one time. He was preaching in England, and this is when Wigglesworth was still alive. This was the 1940s, and Brother Wigglesworth was still alive. And he said, I was preaching a night service. He said, actually, Wigglesworth was in this meeting preaching. And he said, they would have Wigglesworth do day service because he was more of a teacher. And he said, I was more of an evangelist, so they had me do the night service, you know, because maybe sinners would come to the service. And so he said, I'm preaching, you know, and he said, when Wigglesworth's in the meeting, he said, he's sitting up on the platform. And he said, when I got done preaching, he said, I'm just a young man. He said, I felt this tap on my shoulder. He said, I turned around, it was Brother Wigglesworth. And he said, come see me. And he thought, well, I'm in trouble. I don't know what I preached wrong tonight, but I'm in trouble. Because, I mean, here's this great man of God that, you know, the Pentecostal movement revered. And he said, come and see me. But he really just wanted to help him. And he said, so I went, you know, to his house, and he said, I walked, knocked on the door, and he said, I had a newspaper. I had my umbrella, my hat on, newspaper, underneath my arm, you know. He said, I knock on his door, and Wigglesworth comes to the door, and he asked me, he said, what's that under your arm? He said, that's a newspaper. He said, throw it in the bushes. I don't allow those lies in my house. I thought, boy, if they were lies in that day, what about today? But how many understand that if you want to change what you have in life, you have to change what you put in your heart? A lot of people want their circumstances to change, but you've got to work on your heart, and you'll start having to see things manifesting. Is the Bible right? Or when it says out of the heart are the issues of life? Sure. It comes out of your heart. Now, I'm going to show you some things about that, but let's look here in Matthew chapter 15, because there's a few things that, you know, that I want us to look at, a few scriptures that just bring this principle out. Matthew chapter 15, look at verse 16. Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? He's talking to his disciples. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters into the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draft? That's the way the King James says it. In other words, whatever you eat, you know, it's not defiling you spiritually. He says it goes into the belly, it's cast out. But those things, verse 18, which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. You know what I'm saying? Let me clear that up. Once again, that's not just talking about these fleeting thoughts. It's the thoughts that govern our life, see? Bad thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. And so Jesus is saying that all these evil things proceed out of where? Where do they come out of? Where do they come out of? They come out of your heart. See? A murderer is a murderer because it's in his heart, right? See, that's why it's foolishness to think that we can just release these people in society. It's in their heart. You have to change what's in their heart. You know, years ago, there was this young lady. Well, she was young. You know, to me, she's young. She's probably in her 30s. And she had was in prison because of murder. And she had actually gotten the death penalty, and they were going to, you know, execute her. I don't remember what way they were going to do it, but they were going to execute her. But before she was executed, she got born again in prison. Truly saved, right? I'm not talking about jailhouse religion. This woman got a hold of something and got born again. Now, you know, there's a couple of things to look at this. Number one, you don't release people because it's in their heart. But that had gotten out of her heart now. You see what I'm saying? She could have actually been released in society and wouldn't have been a problem, because now there's no more murder in her heart. There's the love of God in her heart. And so she could have been released. Now, I'm not saying she should have been released, because there's still such thing as justice. You understand what I'm talking about? But I'm just making a point here that she could have. They didn't release her. They ended up executing her. A lot of Christians protested it and so forth. And I get the understanding. I understand that she could have, you know, been released in public and she wouldn't have been a threat. But still, there's still such thing as justice. All right, I'll move on from that. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, I saw these protesters. And they were protesting the death penalty. And they were supposed to be representing us Christians. They had these signs out there, thou shalt not kill. Well, actually, the correct translation is you shall do no murder. And they were holding these signs up. And I thought, I wish they'd turn the sign over and the backside said, I don't read my Bible. Because the Bible says in Romans that they don't bear the sword in vain. Moving right along, praise the Lord. This has nothing to do with the sermon. And so you get all the letters and comments from the anti-death penalty people. But anyway, I'm just making a point. How many are with me? I'm just making a point that what the people are bad because bad's in their heart. Amen.
a lady asked her, a pastor, this pastor said, a lady asked, and he said, this came out of his mouth before he realized what he said. But a lady asked him, said, Pastor, why does all this ugliness come out of me? He said, because it's in you. Well, how many know that's the truth, right? If ugliness comes out of you, how many know ugliness is in you? See, the Bible talked about a time on the earth when man's hearts were so bad that Jesus, or the Word of God says, God said that their thoughts of their hearts only evil continually, all the time, in Genesis. So if we're going to change what we have in life, we got to change what we're putting in our heart. Amen. I'm not being like, you know, you can't ever do anything natural. You can't ever, how many know that? You know, you can't ever do anything fun. I'm just talking about you need to major on the majors, right? Minor on the minors. Amen. And so, you know, people who put natural stuff in their heart. You ever met somebody that they're into something? You know, maybe they're into some kind of product and they think everybody in the world should have that product. And how many ever met people like that? So they're trying to convince you should have that product and so forth and so on, you know what I'm saying? And all. And, you know, or maybe you should drink this, or, you know, maybe you should drink apple cider vinegar, and that's going to, you get people on that. And it's just like, you know, I'm just like, hey, if apple cider vinegar causes me to live a long life, I'll just go to heaven. Because I'm sure I won't have to drink it there. All right. Amen. And that's not that some things like that haven't helped some people. You know, Brother Capps, Charles Capps' dad was 95 years old, and he was still climbing deer stands, hunting deer, at 95. And they asked him, well, what do you do? He said, well, I drink a little vinegar every day. I'm like, well, if that's the case, 85 is long enough. But he swore by it, you know, that it helped him live a long life, you know. And but, you know, people get stuff in their heart, and it starts to manifest in their life, see. And, you know, you see that with people in the natural, you know. They're into something, and then they think everybody else should be into it, too. And it's just because it's in their heart. They're excited about it. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with it, but it's just coming out. Well, that's the way life is. What you put in your heart comes out, all right? So let's look here in James. I'll go to James. Let's say that. Let's go to James chapter 2. And I want to read a verse there that's pretty revealing when you think about it. James chapter, I think it's chapter 2. Chapter 2. James chapter 2. So you got to remember this principle. Your heart's going to grow what you put in it. Good or bad, it's going to grow it. That is exactly why people say, well, it's none of my business what I do. You know, like the pornography issue that we have in America right now. People say, well, it's none of your business. Well, let me just say this to you. It is if we have to live with you. We have to live with you. And if you're going to put this perverted stuff in, a lot of times that's going to come out. See? And this isn't really pleasant to talk about, but you remember this serial killer, Ted Bundy? You remember him? You know, here's what the media didn't tell you, all right? They didn't tell you this because they didn't want you to know this, but this, what I'm about to tell you is factual, all right? The night he was scheduled to be executed, the media wanted to go in and talk with him and get all the gory things and so forth. He turned them down. He turned them down. He wouldn't let any of the major networks interview him at all. He said that he would allow Dr. James Dobson to interview him. Now, I think the reason he said that is because he knew Dr. Dobson would tell the truth. He wouldn't cover anything up. So Dr. Dobson went and interviewed him. And Ted Bundy told Doc, you know, he killed a lot of young ladies and raped them, killed them. It was just terrible, terrible thing. But he told, and now you know, whether you believe this or not, whether you accept this or not, a lot of people have trouble accepting this, but he gave his life to the Lord. Ted Bundy did before he died. Now, a lot of people say, well, I just can't believe that he's going to be in heaven. Well, anybody ever heard of grace? Do you know Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners? You think he made it to heaven? I said, you think he made it to heaven? How many think Paul's going to be in heaven? Or you think maybe he missed it, you know? No, he's going to be there. How many know that? Now, see, what I'm saying to you is this. He gave his life to the Lord, all right? So now he's got Dr. Dobson in there interviewing him, and he told Dr. Dobson, he said, this all started with pornography. You say, well, now everybody views pornography, doesn't turn out like Ted Bundy. No, not everybody does, but some do. And everybody that does it, it affects your life one way or another. You may not go to that extreme like he did, but it's going to mess you up, because what you put in your heart will manifest in your life. Amen. And so this is a principle that works on the good side, and it works on the bad side. Just like the soil. It grows good seed, it grows bad seed. It grows good things. That same soil that grows grass is the same soil that grows weeds. One you want, one you don't. You ever go, you know, I don't any longer. I'm a city dweller now. But growing up, I was a country boy. I lived out in the country. We, in our house where I grew up with my parents, I mean, from 66, we moved there in 66. Before that, we weren't country dwellers so much. But in 66, we moved out in the country, and we lived out in the country, and our house was the only house on the road. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That was kind of cool. And we grew up that way. And so, you know, I remember going, I'd go through the woods and stuff, you know, get cockaburros on you. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, those ornery things. But that ground will grow them just as much as it will, you know, grass or watermelon or anything else. I wish it wouldn't grow cockaburros. Man, I remember you'd pick those things off of it, you know, and everything. And I don't even know what those little, these has little small round green things that stick on you too. I don't know what those, what you call those, but those that stick on you, you'd have to pick that off, you know what I'm saying? And because that ground's growing in whatever. Your heart's the same way. It'll grow whatever you put in it. And it'll manifest in your life. That's why if you put good things in there. Now I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this in just a minute, but I think I need to say it now in case I do forget it. It's not just enough. Just like the area of divine healing, if you're believing for healing, how many of you got to put healing scriptures in you? It's not just enough to say, I believe in healing. You got to put something in there for the heart to grow. You got to plant some seed. The word is what? It's what? It's seed. So just believing in healing isn't seed. You got to put some actual seed in the ground. I believe in tomatoes. Right? You see where people miss it? This is where they miss it. Oh, well, I believe Jesus paid the price for my healing. Yes, well, you're supposed to believe that. But that's not, you got to put some seed in the ground for the heart to grow it. And so that's the difference. And this is a lot of times where people are missing it. It's like, well, yeah, of course we believe in divine healing. Well, we're Pentecostal. You want to hear me speak in tongues? Well, that's good. And that's right. But that's not seed. I believe in watermelons. Got to plant seed. Now, look at this in James chapter 2. See, we're just talking about out of the heart. Good things come out, bad things come out. It just depends on what you plant in there. James chapter 2, verse 26 says, for as the body, you're talking about your physical body, without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So, you know, your body's only alive because of your spirit. You know, if your spirit leaves your body's going to fall over. See, there's two ways to die. One is your body gets so broken down that your spirit has to leave. It's no longer a fit house to live in. And your spirit will leave. Y'all hear what I'm saying?
If your body quits, your spirit will go. But then there's another way, which is the way I want to go, is my spirit leaves and my body falls over. That's a good way to go. Is that possible? Well, yeah, there's saints done it. My grandma did it. One of my grandmas did it. She did it that way. Her spirit just left. She was just talking and gone. The guy told Phyllis Nye, said, it looks like she got ready to say something else and her breath was gone. I said, well, that's what the Bible says. He removes their he takes their breath away. Literally, he takes their spirit away. Her spirit went to heaven. Amen. She was in her 90s, you know. E.W. Kenyon was sitting at the breakfast table with his wife and his daughter. And he said, I'm going home today at 10:30. And they thought, well, Dad's slipping. He is home. But that's not the home he meant. Amen. And at 10:30, they said he was sitting in his chair and he said, there comes Jesus, I'm leaving, and he was gone. Raymond T. Ritchie was a great healing evangelist in the 1950s. And, you know, Raymond T. Ritchie was preaching. He was actually preaching a sermon, and the people that were there at the meeting said, we didn't know what he was doing, but he kept saying, no, you'll have to wait. Every little bit he'd say, no, shake his head, no, you have to wait. No, you have to wait. And they thought, what's he talking about? No, you have to wait. He said, after he got done with his sermon, he sat down in the chair on the platform, and he just slumped over like that, and he was gone. And they found out, realized he was telling death, you'll have to wait. I'm not done with my sermon. I'm not going yet. So I don't know about you, but that's the way I want to go. I want to go. I don't want to go beat up, beat down. Anyway, you get to heaven's good. How many know that? But I'd rather just go a way where I'm healthy. Strong. Amen. I mean, you got to put good stuff in your heart. Amen. Yeah. So if, now listen, here's the thought. I wanted to bring out the scripture. If your body is dead without your spirit, it's your spirit that's keeping your body functioning, isn't it? Doesn't it make sense that what you put in your spirit then would affect your body? Right? If you put good stuff in your spirit or in your heart, wouldn't it affect your body? Wouldn't it affect your life? Hallelujah. Amen. See, I try to control, you know, as you get older, like Pastor Chuck, he said, you're older than me. When you get a little older, how many know you have to put good stuff. You know, it's easy to preach healing when you're. I started in ministry 21. It's really easy to preach healing. You're 21. You're following what I'm saying. Now I'm 60 something. I still preach on healing, but I have to do a little bit more warfare than I did when I was 21. That's just reality. See, Paul said this. He said, "Though the outward man perish, the inner man is renewed day by day." See, the outward man, well, he said the outward man is prepared. He's getting older, right? He's decaying. You're like a jug of milk. There's an expiration date on you, right? You know what I'm saying? I always do this. Am I the only one that always sniff the milk before I drink it? Who always sniffs? Why do you sniff it? Because it may be bad, right? And you don't want to find out when you got it in your mouth, all right? So we have an expiration date, you know. Sometimes I can smell people. You're going bad. You better get some scripture sent you. You better put some word in you. How many of you follow what I'm saying? See, here's the point I'm making. Even though the outward man is perishing, I don't believe that means he has to be sick. It just means he is wearing out. In other words, at 61, you don't necessarily are as strong as you were as at 21. Not necessarily. There may be some exceptions, but for the most part, you're not as strong. It doesn't mean you're sick. It just, you can't run as fast. You know, that's why you run a race. They got age categories, you know. You know, they got like, you know, from 14 to 20, 20 to 30, 30 to 40, 50 to 60, 60 to infinity and beyond. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, that's why I've finished pretty good before, because in my category, you know. So the issue is that the guy that's set, the 65 isn't going to run as fast as the guy that's 25. Usually that's the case because of the body, right? You know, you look at your pictures and they change over the years. And so this is just life. But I believe if you put the healing scriptures in your spirit, it affects your body. It affects your body. And you can go, you don't have to go sick, beat up, broken down, you know, drooling. You don't have to go that way. You can go strong. Amen. Amen. Right? You know, and not beat up, not broken down. Right? You know, I mean, I still believe that God wants us to go well. Amen. Amen. So, but I also believe this. It's not just believing that alone. You got to put some seed in your heart for your heart to grow it. Amen. So the body without the spirit is dead. That tells me what I put in my heart affects my body, right? But also, you could say it this way, it affects your whole life. Listen to some scriptures. I'll just read them to you. Proverbs 14:30 says this, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. That's the Bible. In other words, if your heart's sound, you got a sound heart. And it's not talking about physically, a physical heart. It means what you're putting on the inside of you, sound, good sound Bible stuff. It'll cause you to have a sound life. But if you're a person that's full of envy, it'll end up rotting your bones. Proverbs 15:15 says, he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. In other words, if you're just one of these people that you're just merry, you just choose to be merry, you're going to be feasting good all the time. But if you just choose to, you know, if you choose to be a, I hope you understand this, a bummer, a downer, how many of you understand what I'm talking about? Then you're not going to have this feast. It's your choice. Amen. Right? You can be grumpy or you can have a merry heart. Why can we have a merry heart? Because God's been good to us. Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. That's a command from the Word. Right? See, do you practice it? It's going to make a difference in your life. Right? Well, I just can't take those people that are always saying, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm just real. Yeah, I know, you're real carnal. You're real all right. Listen to this, Proverbs 17:22. Listen to this now. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Now, don't tell me that everything has to be just right for you to have a merry heart. I've seen people that had a lot of things going wrong, and they still had an upbeat, merry heart. And that's going to produce, that's like a medicine, the Bible says. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there's such a thing as Holy Ghost laughter, where the Holy Ghost hits you and you just start laughing. You think, what am I laughing about? I don't know. I'm just laughing. Hallelujah. Man, I've been in that. I've had that happen to me. I've been in services where it broke out, where, you know, Holy Ghost laughter. Some people had problems. Some people said to me, well, why doesn't it happen to everybody? It didn't happen to me. I said, well, one thing, you got to yield to it. Number two, it's not a redemptive blessing. It's just a blessing. I mean, Jesus didn't die so you'd laugh in church. But jump in it when it's happening. You know, people just, I ain't going to act that way. Well, no, you're not going to get the blessings out of it. Well, what happened? Well, I've had it happen to me, and I was refreshed for days. You know, put some strength in me. Well, just in the natural, it's, you know, you can have a merry heart like the Bible says, and it's a medicine to you. What do you take medicine for? Right? To get better, right? I mean, if it said on there, take three of these a day till it kills you, what would you do with it? You throw it behind your back, flush it down the toilet. But it's supposed to help you, right? I know not all medicine does, but it's supposed to, right? You know, you get, all right. Sometimes I hear those side effects and they go, oh my gosh, that's worse than the problem I got. Why would I want that?
You know that part? That's the part you need to know. All right. Look at, we got a little bit of time. Look at Genesis chapter 17. Let's look at Abraham. This is a good example. Genesis 17. Did you get anything tonight? So you have to change what you put in your heart if you want to change what you have in life. Good or bad? Good or bad? You say, well, you mean even financially I could change my life this way? Absolutely. The Bible says the issues of life come out of the heart. Is money an issue of life? So you, if you put what the Bible says about money, which is many scriptures in there in the Bible about money, Proverbs is full of it, all right? But there's all kinds of promises and blessings. You put those in your heart, you put those in there, that'll start changing the way you think, the way you do, what you do. All right, amen? And it'll cause you to have a different outcome in your financial life. Right? See, it isn't just, you know, believing. It's planting. You got to plant something for the heart. And so, of course, you know, when you plant the word, the impetus of that is you're going to do the word. Right? See, when I learned about tithing, man, I started tithing. And God started blessing me. Amen. But I've always said this, and I mean this. If Jesus would have said, give, you'll get nothing back, I'd still give. Because he said to do it. So it's not a matter, because people are like, well, you're just giving to get. Well, your heart has to be right. How many know that? Your motives have to be right. But what would you think what do you think a farmer would say to you if you said, you're just planning to get a harvest? That's all. What do you think? He'd look at you like you came out without your pants on or something. He's like, well, yeah. I'm not planting for my combine to break down. I want a harvest. Well, all right. So that part of that, we shouldn't throw that away. We should believe. People say, well, I just leave that up to God. Well, no, wait a minute. He left that part up to you. All right. Look at this in Genesis 17, verse 3. The Bible says, this is the Lord talking to Abraham. And it says, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, how many would like some of that? As for me, God says, as far as I'm concerned, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. I mean, at this time, you know, Sarah's barren, right? Verse 5, neither shall your name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations, notice this. How does he say this? Past tense, doesn't he? Have I made thee. He didn't come and say, Abraham, if we can figure out a way to get Sarah pregnant, you're going to be a father of many nations. How about God didn't see any obstacles? He just said, this is what I've done. All right. I have made you this. Now, here's the thing. He had Abraham change his name. And you understand in those days, names meant more than they do today. You know, we just name our kids whatever's popular, whatever's the latest trend, you know. I mean, some of the older names are coming back now. And it's the trend now. But in those days, they named a child with purpose for destiny. And so when he changed his name to Abraham, what you need to understand is not only did he know what it meant, but the people around him knew what it meant. You know what I'm saying? When he sent those business cards out, mailed them to all his friends, family members, and said, my name from now on is not Abram, it's Abraham. How many of them knew what that meant? This guy is the father of a malt. What's wrong with him? Here's what God was trying to do. God was trying to get him, and God made him this first. He made him a father of a multitude, first of all, inside of him. Abraham started seeing himself as a father of multitude, see? He began to see it that way. He changed his name. He began to see it that way. Are y'all listening to what I'm saying? See, where did God make him a father of a multitude at? Well, first of all, he made him in on the inside. And it manifested in his life. Abraham, you know, when God said there, we read there where God said, ask for me. He was just telling Abraham, this is what I'm propositioning to you.
This is the way I want, this is the way I see it. Abraham could have said, I don't want anything to do with it. God would have moved on. But Abraham took it. Now, I'm going to say this. I can't prove this, but I don't think you can disprove it. I think that one of the reasons why God chose Abraham, because he was one of the first people he could find that would move beyond and outside of his own five physical senses and trust God. He didn't just believe what he saw. He believed what God said. Remember when Caleb came into the promised land? He went to Joshua and he said, you remember the word that the Lord told Moses concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea? How many know it's good to remember the word of the Lord? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That word, you know. And he said, you know, he sent us to spy out the land, and I brought word as was in my heart. Yeah. How did that good word get in Caleb's heart? He put it there, didn't he? See, the other 10 came back with a bad report. Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report, and the reason was because they had that word that God spoke in their heart. They put it in their heart, and it changed their lives. They got something different. They got their inheritance. Amen. So you have to change what you're putting in your heart. See, I hope you get this. I'm not minimizing saying, well, I believe in healing. I believe in this. I believe in that. That is good. You need to believe in that. But you got to plant some seed for your heart to grow, some things, some crops in your life. It's good to believe. We should believe. But we've got to take it a step further and put something in there to grow, for our heart to grow. Amen. That's what Jesus said. The seed's planted in the heart, in the soil. See? Is this making sense? All right. One last scripture. I hope you got something tonight. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. I know we looked at some scripture tonight, but this is a really strong principle that's really throughout God's Word. We could look at a bunch of scriptures about this, but I've just picked out a few. Mark chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. So when God called Abram, Abraham, Abraham started calling Abram, Abraham. That's significant. You got to call yourself what God calls you. Right? Don't call yourself what God doesn't call you. Call yourself what God calls you. Amen. I am this because the Bible says I am this. Now listen, this is religious, but it's not true. We're just, Christians say, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Did you know that's not accurate? You were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. Now you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why is that important? Because the way you think about yourself is what you're going to end up having in life. See, you got to think different. Amen. You got to believe the scriptures. See, I've dealt with people over the years, and you know, maybe years ago they did something wrong, they sinned or something, and they're still carrying that around, you know. And I'm like, one guy, I told him, I said, your problem is this. All right, here's your problem. You got more faith in your sin than you do in the blood of Jesus. If you ask God to forgive you, how many know the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive you? Now, what? See, if you ask God to forgive you and He didn't forgive you, the inference of that verse when it says He's faithful and just to forgive you, the inference of that verse is if He didn't forgive you, it would not be faithful and it would not be just. The reason it wouldn't be is because somebody paid for it. It's been paid for. See, for instance, I've gone in restaurants before, more than one time. And I asked for my bill. And they say, somebody paid it. I've had it happen several times. Just, I don't know when it was, you might remember, but we were eating over at, what's that restaurant? Longhorn. And so, you know, we've eaten our meal. And I asked for the check. They call it the check, but you can't cash it. I asked for the check, you know. And she said, well, somebody already paid it. I said, who did that? Well, I can't tell you. So I pressed it a little further. I said, what did they look like? Well, I think she finally said, I don't really know their name. She said, it's a blonde-headed lady that comes in here to read. I don't know any blonde-headed lady that goes to Longhorn to read. You know, I don't go to Longhorn to read, do you? I go there to eat steak. I go home to read. Right? So I don't know who this lady is. I still don't know to this day who it was. But how many know, it would have been unjust for her to charge me for that meal because it had been paid for. That's what the scripture is saying. Jesus paid the price. If you ask for forgiveness, it'd be unjust for God to hold it against you because it's been paid for. God wouldn't do that. Amen. Matthew chapter 12. Let's go there. I don't know. I like when I go into restaurants and, you know, somebody pays for my meal. Don't you? I call it the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now look at this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. It says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So, see, whatever's in your heart's coming out, isn't it? Look at this, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart brings forth evil, or we could say bad things. So, see, what's in your heart is coming out. That's what these two verses are saying. And so whatever you put in, if you want good things, you got to have a good treasure in your heart to bring it out. So you're going to have to put good things in there. Isn't that right? See, you know, if you don't put money in the account, then how many of there's not going to be money in there? See, I could go to, where is it we bank at? Heritage Federal. This isn't a commercial for them. But Heritage Federal, I could go to Heritage Federal. And I actually did go there a few months ago to get some money out of our savings account. I had to have help to get it out because I didn't know what to do, you know. And I knew, you know, she knows what to do. I didn't know what to do. I've been kind of figured that what you got to do is you got to show, have an ID. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to have an ID, right? Doesn't that make sense? Unless you're voting. I mean, you're buying baseball tickets, you got to have an ID. Vote for president, you don't need an ID. What are you talking about? So, I go in there, and thank God, thank the Lord, this lady, she sees me, and she's like, can I help you? Yes, ma'am, you sure can. I want to get some money out of this bank, and not with a gun. Yeah. Well, I mean, if I go there tomorrow and say, you know what, I want help, help me here, lady. You helped me last time, come help me again. And she take me to this machine, you know, and I want to withdraw $1 million from our savings account. Some will have a real difficult time. And they have a real problem with that. Because there isn't anything even close to that in there. I wish there were. I confess there's going to be someday. But there's not right now. See, what's the problem? I don't have it in there, see. I can't bring it out if I don't have it in. If you don't have good things in your heart, it's not coming out. Why isn't this happening to my life, Pastor? I believe in it. You got to put it in the heart. Once you put it in, you can draw it out. How many of this book, you stand up. Did you get something tonight?
Yes.
This book is a book of seed. All kinds of different kinds of seeds in here, right? You know, I used to work at a hardware store when I was young, 20 years old, 20, I guess that's probably 20, 21, 22. But anyway, work at a hardware store, and come springtime, we sold seed, you know, all different kinds of seed. You go there and buy seed, you know. Well, this book's a book of seed. And you can go there and you get whatever kind of seeds you need. There's seeds in here for having a sound mind. There's seeds in here for having a healing manifest in your life. There's seeds in here for living free from sin. There's seeds in here to break bondages off your life. But you know, you got to put it in there to get a harvest. Now, I thank God for the, you know, sometimes we have what I call, you know, like the instant manifestations. We pray and somebody's instantly delivered. I thank God for those. Those things happen. But I tell you, for the most part, most of us that are mature in the Lord, we got to plant the seed in our heart and grow a crop. We've got to grow a harvest. And when we do that, that takes a little time sometimes. But once you learn to do that, then you can never be defeated. Because you always know, I know where the seed bag's at. Hallelujah. I'll go back and get some more seed. Amen. All right. Amen. All right. Say this with me. Thank God. I put good things in my heart, and good things are coming out. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.